And we're back for another week of no noise from the tech world because it's cancelled. That's right, cancelled. Noise is cancelled. Can you tell that this is the Noise Cancelling Podcast, back for episode 3? Yep, it's your weekly chance to get the best chat about what the tech world has to offer. And there is loads to get into. But before that, let's meet the team.
I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm James Peckham, phones editor for Tech Radar.
And I am Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar as well. As you can tell, if you haven't heard the format so far, there's different people from different sites, but we all try to get along. And this week, we've got another special guest who is...
Oh, hello, I'm Matthew Phillips, video producer for Tech Radar.
Did you forget your own name or title
there? I was a little bit confused. I'm also trying to keep an eye on and make sure this is still recording, and I'm terrified that it's not. But it is.
Cherie, how have you been over the other side of the Atlantic?
So far, so good. Doing a little work from home situation. Eating well. I made a lovely filet mignon roast last night with some fingerling potatoes and green beans.
That was the first thing to go for me. Eating well just disappeared completely for me.
I thought for years that filet mignon was flaming yan, like flaming yan. What's a yan? It's flaming. And that was like a special food. I assumed it was a grown-up thing. That's fine. thanks very much for that. I feel like I'm the same. I haven't really eaten very well for a good long while, but that's nothing to do with any situation. It's just me. Pexy, James Peckham. What about you? How's your week been? Pexy.
All good. Yeah. Again, working from home as well because of current events at the moment. But I'm onto a diet of pasta and more pasta and more pasta at the moment, really.
Nice. At the time of recording, we've just had a new announcement from Apple, which is nice. It's a good thing to have a get excited about. What we saw were two new iPads. Well, one iPad Pro that's been doubled up in two different sizes and the new MacBook Air. So we've got the phones and tablets editor and Laptop Mag's editor-in-chief. Could it be more perfect? So
No, not at all.
Even if it wasn't about iPads and MacBooks, it would still be perfect because you guys...
Oh, you're so sweet.
Aww,
yeah,
thanks.
Exactly, yeah. that took a turn. iPad Pro. Pexy.
Sure.
Is it exciting?
Is it exciting? If you already own an iPad, probably not. But if you're looking to get a top-end iPad at the moment, these are probably going to be the best tablets that you can buy in 2020 so far, at least. Essentially, there are two different versions. There's an 11-inch and a 12.9-inch. If you want the larger one, you're going to be spending more money. Both of them come in cellular and Wi-Fi editions. Straight off the bat, they are very expensive products, especially if you're going to be buying the top-end 12.9 and you want a terabyte of storage, and you also want their new Magic Keyboard. I think I'm right, Gareth, it's called the Magic Keyboard.
It is Magic Keyboard, which comes from the laptops as well.
Yeah, we've learned about this about an hour ago, so we're still just getting a head around for all the information. But so the new Magic Keyboard, which if I'm right, is $300, which sounds like a lot for a keyboard, but essentially, the big upgrades here is there's a time of flight sensor on the back, but it's a specific, I can't remember the exact terminology for it. Gareth, maybe you ought to speak a little bit more on that. And that's essentially going to be improving augmented reality experiences. And we all know that Apple love AR stuff at the moment. They're really trying to make the new iPad Pro the powerhouse of that, really.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of the keyboard itself, it is much more expensive. We can't ignore that. And it's one of those things you can never fully say that it deserves it because it's just so expensive. But in this case, it does add some new things for it. So what you've got is this backlit keyboard, which means a lot to a lot of people. The keys themselves, it's a proper keyboard now, not the material stuff that goes sort of clickety clack under your fingers. And there's a trackpad, which is pretty massive for a lot of people. The fact that you could use an iPad on your knees typing was fine, but then to touch it and tap it was just a stupid experience. So now iPadOS 13.4, which is coming in about a week's time after recording, will be bringing the fact that you can essentially use a mouse with your iPad. And I think that's a pretty big deal, and it brings it a lot more in line with MacBooks in general, doesn't it?
Definitely. And I think you're right that the light up keyboard essentially is going to be, the backlit keyboard is going to be a really big game changer for people as well. Cherie, how do you feel about it? Do you think it's going to ever replace your laptop?
Hey, what are you doing? No. Why are you asking people to talk? Hey, I'll ask. Cherie, what do you think?
Sorry about that.
What do you think about it, Cherie?
Well, number one, anyone that knows me knows that I do not believe in tablets.
What, you don't believe they exist, or you don't believe they're a good thing?
A little bit of both.
They exist. I've got one right next to me.
I think you have the mythical device, and I cannot see it. I especially do not believe in this just rigmarole that Apple, Microsoft, and the rest are trying to, like, oh, this tablet can replace a laptop. I've yet to see it. I don't think that the iPad Pro is going to be able to do it. I just, as a functionality, I just cannot see a tablet replacing a legitimate laptop. I can't do it.
I mean, the first, I just realized the Magic Keyboard is actually $350, not $300. So that's even more money.
Oh, that's hurtful.
But it does come. Yeah,
I think it's $300 for the 11 inch and $350 for the 12.9. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. For more tech.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not even, you know, you compare it to the MacBook Air, which is $999. And you think, well, that at least comes with a keyboard, and suddenly, you know, you've got price parity completely.
I know that you were really blown away with the Huawei tablet that we went to go see, or maybe not blown away, but really interested at least. How do you think this stacks up?
This is far better, and that's mostly down to the App Store, essentially. Like, the App Store is the best possible place if you're going to be using a tablet for downloading anything like that. The Huawei Gallery is a real... There's not much at all in the Huawei Gallery at the moment. Even the Google Play Store isn't fantastic for app experiences. So, I think the iPad is a much better place for it. But I think this is about double the price, or, like, the Huawei would be at least two-thirds of the price of this. So yeah, that's the kind of trade-off there.
And there are a lot of key upgrades as well in this, aren't there? In terms of,
yeah,
you can basically say the fact that there's, like, an upgraded processor, which Apple is saying is a big deal. And I think the main thing about that is this whole LiDAR thing. So there's a time of flight sensor on the back of the tablet, and it can basically map a room. It can map it really well, and understanding exactly what needs to be done and finding out where you can place things without having to sort of do that weird scanning the floor and finding out where you can chuck a bike or whatever. And it'll be interesting to see, because Apple is maintaining that, you know, the iPad is a perfect place for AR experiences. But I was like, who really cares about it at all?
I've used some of Apple's AR experiences, and I mean, I've done the Angry Birds AR, and I've done a few of the interior decorating apps, and they work. They absolutely work. They work seamlessly. They do what they're supposed to do. But when you're using such a large form factor as a tablet, your arms get really tired really quickly. And I just can't see people using this as a legitimate AR device anytime soon. It's just too big.
All right. Okay. Well, I feel like, in terms of later on, just to give the readers a little sneak peek, we are going to have unpopular opinions, and I feel like we can really get into this there. So,
okay. I will keep my hatred. I will hold it.
Exactly. It's because I don't want to agree with you too much, because I've got some stuff to really lead into as well. So I want to make sure that we keep something in the powder. But the MacBook Air, Cherie, is that exciting you? It's a laptop. You've got to like laptops, right?
I mean, I do like laptops. I am excited because this is probably the first time in all the years that I've been at Laptop Mag that I will be reviewing a MacBook. So I'm just excited about that.
Well, why is that? Have you been sort of kept away from it?
I wasn't the editor-in-chief before, and the previous editor-in-chief, like anytime a MacBook came out, he's like, I've got it. I'm like, okay, like, I'm not going to fight you for a MacBook when there's all these gaming laptops around. So this will be my first time. I am excited. I am excited that Apple actually gave, I guess, a decent price drop. So the base model of the MacBook Air is going to start at $899 for the education model. If you want a Core i5 and double the storage, which would bring it to 512 gigs, that would bring the price to $1299 and $1199 for education. This will be the first time that the MacBook Air will be using quad-core chips, which Apple is claiming will deliver twice the performance, and it will also get Iris Plus graphics. Wow. And as far as battery life, they're claiming about 11 hours web browsing. We'll see how that translates into everyday use. And you get a free year of Apple TV Plus. So, I mean, sounds like a reasonable upgrade from what we had. I definitely want to see how it does against competitors like the Dell XPS 13. And the HP Spectre 13, but so far so good. Like, on paper, it sounds pretty impressive.
And so this obviously was supposed to be part of what we thought was going to be the mythical Apple Spring event, and we're supposed to also see the iPhone 9 at that point. And yet, We've got the MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, sorry. We've got the iPad Pro, but we haven't seen the new iPhone. Why is that, Pexy?
Probably coronavirus. We genuinely don't know whether we're going to see the iPhone 9 in the next few weeks, if we're going to see it later on. This is also the phone we're expecting to be called the iPhone SE 2. But yeah, at the moment, it looks like it's going to be indefinitely delayed. Apple have never said that they were going to announce it at this event. But yeah, both these MacBook Airs and the iPads weren't actually part of an event. They just ended up telling us about them, essentially. So that's a bit unprecedented for Apple, really, for doing like big products like these. They quite often make a big song and dance about these. I'm not sure about if that's the case for the MacBook Airs, but it definitely is for these kind of tablets. These are the kind of things that you'd have Tim Cook talking about on stage normally. But we're in unprecedented times, aren't we?
Yeah, and it's a shame that we can't be counting the amount of times Apple says magical, the amount of times that they talk about their incredible developer ecosystem. It's, you know, these are things that you miss.
Press release if you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Matt, out of all the announcements today, all two of them, which would have been the iPhone, which one are you most excited about? Are you feeling like it would have been the iPhone 9, but
100%. Yeah, I was waiting for the iPhone 9 purely just to see what the name would be, because we've had a lot of discussions about this. What are we calling it? iPhone 9, iPhone SE 2. I think SE 2 is ridiculous, to be honest with you, but sounds like that's the way they're going to go if it eventually becomes a thing. But yeah,
I don't see that happening. Like that's a phone from 2016, I think, for the iPhone SE. Like, exactly, they're not going to call it that.
I don't think people know what that is anymore. 9. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, if you release an iPhone 9 in 2020, you released your iPhone 10 in 2018. So that's like, that in itself is odd, really. Yeah. Sorry, Matt, carry on.
No, exactly that. Maybe they come up with a whole new naming convention. They've got time to think about it now, I guess, haven't they?
And so from construction of a new device to destruction of messages, WhatsApp is getting rid of, well, they're bringing back, sorry, a possible self-destructing message feature. Now, this was tested previously, but a new beta of the app has been pulled apart, and they found out a possibility for messages that self-destruct after a few hours, days, minutes, whatever you want to put on it, basically making your WhatsApp secret so no one else can check on them. I don't really understand why this is happening. Is anyone younger than me able to shed light on this new social phenomenon?
Is this just, they're just trying to jump on the Instagram stories, Snapchat bandwagon, right? I get the feeling that they don't even know why they're doing it, but they're like, oh, people want stuff to disappear after a while, so we'll just make that a thing.
It was a feature that WhatsApp had before. So like, it was something you were able to do at one stage, but I think they lost it, if I'm right. I think, like, it will always sort of be positioned as a business kind of standpoint of, like, if you need to WhatsApp someone a password or something like that, so it's there for an hour just so you don't, just if they get hacked or anything. But really, it's probably going to be WhatsApping naughty messages, really.
And just getting people really annoyed?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. And, like, well, we're part of group chats where people delete the messages and immediately we're like, what the hell? We want to know what you put in there. Even if it's a mistake, we want to know. So, it's probably going to be more frustration like that, really.
I reckon a lot of people have got people in a group chat on WhatsApp where when they see certain people saying something controversial, they screen grab it straight away just so they've got the reference. Because they know they're like, they're going to delete that in a minute because they're going to panic and there's too many people watching.
Yeah, they're going to have two.
Sheree, in America, WhatsApp still, is it gaining popularity yet? I know a few years ago it wasn't that big.
Not particularly. I think certain people use it, but like Telegram is doing big numbers. And then if you're doing business, everybody's typically on Slack. The crew and I use Discord. So all of our just regrettable messages are just there for the world to see. If someone was ever invited into that Discord, God help us all.
Oh God, yeah. I think everyone in the world has got that fear of their office messaging app being checked into by somebody else. Everyone is usually fine. Obviously, everyone doesn't do anything, but you sort of like go, I don't want that looked at again. Especially out of context.
Pretty much. Like it's,
I don't even want to look through my messages.
I think that the self-destruct is a good idea, just on the strength of, just look what happens with Twitter. Somebody gets, and it happens, take SNL for Saturday Night Live, for instance. Every year, someone gets blown up because they didn't check their old tweets, and people scour your old tweets. Yeah. Like, the person that I am now is totally different than the person that I was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago. And so now People are just getting their spots blown up because of old tweets, and they might not even be the same person. Now, in some cases, they are the same person. They're still doing the same stuff, so rightfully so. But I think that certain tweets, especially if you're a kid, kids say dumb things all the time, and they typically grow to evolve out of certain positions. Should we be held accountable for everything that we've said with a 140 character limit? I'm not necessarily sure.
Sorry, Sharia. I'm just saying, I haven't actually changed since I was four.
I've always been editor-in-chief.
Right, I think we should go into our labs, find out what we're going to be talking about this week, what's going to be going on. And I feel like, Cherie, I don't know if we have a jingle for this one, but I feel like this one could pop out of your mouth at any given point.
Welcome to our labs, where wondrous things happen. Will it be laptops, smartphones, or tablets? Who knows? This week we do. It's time for reviews.
I can't wait for the Christmas album from this podcast. That's going to be.
I've got a few notes, Sherry, there. Number one, beautiful. Number two, if people saw our labs, they'd realize it wasn't magical. And number three, how can you have tablets? They don't exist.
I mean, they exist for some people. I just do not see them. They're very much John Cena to me. Just, you can't see them. They're
John Cena, can I have to elaborate before we get into this?
John Cena, his catchphrase is, you can't see me. So everyone he's invisible. Like, you can't see him.
There were blank expressions on the rest of us then. Like, when you brought up SNL, we were all just like, no, yeah, okay.
I'm so sorry.
I know SNL, but like the John Cena bit, I thought you meant just like you didn't believe in him either, like as a concept.
No, it's a running yeah. wrestling joke. Everybody at Laptop, for the most part, Laptop and Tom Scott, a lot of us are rabid wrestling fans.
Okay, you're the cool guys. It's fine. Whatever. Right. So what have we been looking at this week? I feel like before we get into anything, the PlayStation 5 is about to be, people are saying, unveiled. And at the time of recording, we can't actually talk about it because it hasn't happened. But it looks like it's going to be more of just like a spec unveiling, like a bit more dry, a bit more, you know, teraflops, etc. And we've seen that from Xbox One, Series X, this week already. And this is PlayStation's chance to come back, right?
I think PlayStation got a long way to go, right? Like, they're so far behind now in their messaging. Xbox, we've seen the Xbox. We know a significant amount of details about it. We know what games are coming to it. With PlayStation, we just know nothing. They need to get something out there. And I think this is going to disappoint a lot of people. I think it's going to be quite bland, quite boring, specky stuff.
I do think that it's going to be very spec heavy, but I'm going to take this like E3. Typically, Xbox goes first and we all get excited. It's like, woo! And then Sony comes out, is like, yeah, that's nice, but this and this and Pyro and Sparkles and Keanu and this. I'm not ready to count PlayStation out yet.
Yeah, neither am I really. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see the box today, though, and I think that's sort of what people want to see. I don't know why that is, but it seems that everyone's really desperate to see the design of the console, which doesn't really matter to... Well, it doesn't matter to me all that much, but like it's something that people get passionate about, isn't it? So I don't feel like that's going to be what we hear today. I may eat all of these words by, in 2 hours' time after we've recorded this podcast? Yeah. But I feel like it's just going to be specs, and that'll be it.
I think people were quite shocked by the Xbox design because it's like such a departure closer to a PC is what I was going to say. And so they're excited to see what PlayStation have, thinking they'll have something unique, but I'm not sure they will.
No one's talked about is the fact that I think it's going to be a perfect sphere and it's going to be incredibly hard to put anywhere.
Incredibly hard, yeah.
Like the controllers won't fit in properly. There'll be no USB ports in the right place. The HDMI will go up the top. It'd be like, yeah, we can do what we want, guys.
Is there any such thing as a perfect sphere either? Imagine if Sony just said, this is it. This is the first time we've ever found anything perfectly spherical.
If you could see Cherie's face right now, it'd be brilliant.
I mean, when we saw those grainy photos, wasn't it kind of shaped like a V?
Yeah, it was the developer version. Yeah, it's the final ball.
So I think the design piece alone, after seeing that grainy image, I am very intrigued to see if they stayed with that design, because it's like, oh, well, you're just going for the whole five thing. I see Roman numeral V5. I get it. PlayStation 5. I want to see if they just like, you know what? throwing caution to the wind, is truly going to be the centerpiece of your entertainment system type of deal.
Yeah, I think we, you know, it's one of those things that we're going to be digging into the specs for a whole week. It's going to be quite dull in the sense of what comes out first, but I think there will be some interesting things that emerge. I do think we'll see more about games, and that's, I think, the bit that really sets the narrative. I also don't think that Xbox has got can do anything to get ahead. It can just claw closer, and Sony is still ahead in terms of the interest that we're seeing, even though the Xbox is all out there. So I think the mystery is actually helping it. Well, in terms of gaming, though, I feel like I'm still destructively upset by the fact that virtual reality isn't here. And I mean that because I've talked about this on the pod already. The fact is that VR promised to be so much over half a decade ago, and we still haven't got something good. And HTC Cosmos and the Cosmos Elite are the new headsets that came out, and they still haven't seemed to solve anything. I just don't understand why.
HTC is going after enterprise folks, and I think the sooner that we accept that, the better off we'll all be. The price point alone is just restrictive. The regular Cosmos is $300 more than the Oculus Quest and the Oculus S, the Rift S. Oculus, and by proxy, Facebook is trying to bring a cheaper but still powerful device to mainstream consumers, whereas HTC has about 6 SKUs of VR. And yes, the Cosmos, I think, might be the closest, or the, that other one that's supposed to be wireless. I can't even remember its name right now because there's so many of them.
Oculus Quest, right?
No, the Vive one. The
There's another
really
wireless Vive one?
Yeah, what is the wireless Vive?
Yeah, because they showed it at CES a couple of years ago.
CES last year. Yeah, last year it was. I thought that was the Cosmos as well.
Was that the Cosmos? No, maybe I'm just making up systems at this point. But like $699 does not a consumer buy make, especially since you still need a laptop or desktop for most of those, and more importantly, you still need the base stations for really precise tracking. We just reviewed the Cosmos, and I'm working on the Elite now. Like, just the space needed to set up the base stations, because they need to be a certain amount apart. They need to be able to see each other. You still need to have a fairly big play area. It's just not sensible for most consumers, especially if you live in a place like New York and real estate is just, if you get 1,000 square feet, you're just like, oh my God, I'm living in a palace.
This is exactly the same in London.
Yeah, so I think the Cosmos was announced, like I said, last year at CES in 2019, and it was supposed to be a base stationless option. And that's what we've got this year. We've got these 6 cameras on the front that are capable of tracking your hands and also kind of guessing where your hands are at the same time, and just being able to work out things in that sense. And our reviewers just found that it just doesn't really work as well, because you've got this kind of rubber banding effect. If you move your hands behind you, it can't be seen. So you can move up to the Cosmos Elite, where you can have the base tracking stations, which you've talked about, but they are so hard to set up. Like, I've done that before, and it is amazing, yeah, but like I said, you need the space, you need to make sure that you don't go out of view. It's just really difficult, and every time you want to restart it, it's a whole process again. So like I said, I'm just annoyed this hasn't happened yet, because I really fucking want to do VR, because it's cool to look at whales or something.
I think right now, if I was going to recommend VR, I'd tell people to go with the Quest. If you need something more powerful, try the Oculus Link that will let you just use one cord to connect to your laptop or desktop, and you'll get better performance and graphics and all of that. But for your money and for the space requirements, Oculus Quest is the way to go.
Yeah, I don't think people should buy VR at all right now, and I feel like it should just keep going until it gets better. And like I said, the enterprise space is fine, businesses, whatever, don't care, but I just really want it. I really want it, and hurry up. That's all I say.
I wonder if all this self-isolation is going to be the thing that kicks it into the next gear. We need
All this self-isolation is the time when this would have been perfect.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
But no one's going to go out and buy a new VR headset right now, because there isn't just the games are good and everything, but it's too complex. It's like, I was going to use a really boring analogy, like DLNA in the olden days. But like, I remember I had a smartphone in 2010 or something, it was from the Sony, and you could connect it to your PlayStation if you tried really, 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 really hard wireless. obviously. And now it's basically what Chromecast is or Apple AirPlay, where it's just instant and it can find it. And, you know, back then I did it because I wanted to do it. And then now it's seamless. And I'm like, VR should have been doing that right now. 5 years ago, I was doing it because I wanted to do it as an early adopter and I was making it happen. And now it should be here. And like in the kitchen, you should have a headset, and in the lounge, have a headset, and you can watch recipes. I don't know. I'm just guessing at things now and I'm sad.
But as much as we say this, there is a Half-Life game coming out in VR in like, what, 2 weeks time, in the next month. That may be the one thing that changes things. If anything can change VR gaming in that way, it could be a new Half-Life game. And like, I've not played it myself, but from what I've heard from people playing it, it does seem to be it's potentially the title that will get people excited again. Do you agree?
Yeah, I know. I think it's the titles what makes the difference. But if people haven't got the hardware to use it, it's PSVR is a different one. Like PlayStation Virtual Reality is great because you've already got the setup already there, but they haven't got base tracking and stuff. And anyway, I'm boring myself now. This is people
I wonder
don't care
if,
about VR.
I wonder if games isn't the thing that's going to sell it, right? If they come out now for the Olympics and say, right, social distancing, you can't go to the Olympics, but we're going to set up VR cameras everywhere. You can buy a pass. Put on your VR headset at home and you can be on the 100 meter line sort of watching it as if you're there.
I've got a TV that does that.
People would hate that, yeah.
Why would people? I would love that.
Wait, for what sport?
For the Olympics or for any football or for anything.
Well, you never tried football in VR? Like soccer, sorry. Playing in VR is really hard. But like watching it, it's really weird because you feel like you're a ghost in the stadium. You can't properly feel it and see it, but you are also aware that something's happening. It's all a bit fluid and I don't know, it's not nice. It feels like a kind of uncanny valley situation in VR world.
I actually, because I've done NBA or VR, and I actually think it's a really cool experience, especially since I will never in my life be able to afford a courtside seat. Being able to have that perspective is really cool, and having the ability to change the perspective at will to just behind the basket or just behind the bait. Like, depending on how it's being shot and produced, it could be a really cool thing. Like, I was hoping that we would eventually get to boxing because I love boxing. Because I'll never be able to afford a ringside seat. So I would love to have that opportunity to have that POV or even some of my favorite concerts. Like, Beyonce charges an arm, a leg, and a babe to get decent seats. Like, I got to see Jay-Z one time for $150.
Jay-Z. Like,
all right.
That's what we call them, yeah.
Oh, all right. Cool. But that was because they were doing a promotion. That will never, ever happen again. But it could with VR.
Exactly.
I agree with that. It could, but it hasn't. That's the point. Like, you do it and you're like, this is a rubbish experience compared to what it could be. But anyway, we must move on because time is ticking and also the world doesn't need any more anger about VR. We were going to talk about Animal Crossing. Has anybody played it?
No, I've yet to play it.
I don't believe in going in debt to furry animals.
I pre-ordered it last night, mostly because like I just need an escape right now. Essentially, that feels like the perfect escape is that being on an island surrounded by little furry animals and just having the most chilled experience possible is exactly what I need. So I'm hoping it arrives on Friday morning. We reviewed it quite well. We gave it 4.5 stars on the site.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's one of those things that it could be a real, if it can be understood as a real chance to do something that's a little bit, it's not like, you know, where you're just browsing endlessly on your phone just to take your mind off the world, but it actually engaging with something right that's now. Different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But you know, like, yeah. When you're having a tough day and you sit there and you realize you spent an hour on Twitter and learn nothing, it's quite demoralizing. But if you to play a game like this where it actually hopefully enriches you in some way, I think is a nice thing. And the more things that can happen like that, the better.
I just want to go build a little house. I think that's what I want to do. And like, I can't do that in real life right now. So why can't I just do it surrounded by Tom Nook and other animals on my Switch?
You can build a little house. Just do it in your kitchen.
Oh yeah, okay.
House. Yeah, build a little house out of toilet roll that you've been stockpiling.
Little insight into Matt Phillips's home.
Right, okay. Let's take this to the. Hang on, I was going to say take it to the bridge because of that Justin Timberlake song all those years ago. Take it to the bridge. Showing the age. Let's take it to unpopular opinions. Sherry, take us to the bridge.
Oh my goodness. Unpopular opinions, let the hate unfurl. Got a product that you hate? Here's the time to let the world know. Unpopular opinion.
Well, welcome to Unpopular Opinions, our chance to vent when we think things are just a bit crap. Although I feel like the topic this week is going to be the iPad Pro. I don't think it's fair to call it crap because it's not, but I feel like Cherie has got some strident thoughts and I might or might not agree with.
Oh, you don't. Well, I see that no one believes in my belief that tablets don't exist, period. So, well, that's fine. I can accept that. But the AR thing, like, I just think the tablet is too big a medium for AR. Like, seeing people use the tablet for AR kind of gives me that same feeling when I see someone trying to take a picture outside with a 10-inch, 11-inch, 12-inch tablet. I immediately just want to slap it out their hands. Like, what are you doing?
Absolutely. I have been so annoyed at watching people use tablets for stupid ways. Like, I was on a train about a year ago and somebody was watching a film on their iPad mini in portrait. And
I was like, why?
Why? You want to stop them. But then, yeah, and you see people at concerts and football games or whatever, and they're using it sideways. Oh, sorry. Using it sideways for a camera, and you're like, it's getting in the way. It's like bringing a laptop and taking pictures with a webcam of, like, what's happening? It's ridiculous. I feel like the iPad Pro, there's more to it, though. Like, Apple is positioning this as a real laptop substitute, and it just can't be. Like, until it basically runs Mac OS, it can never be a true laptop substitute. It just can't happen because and it's hard to even explain why, but there's a fluidity to using a Windows PC or a MacBook where you can just do lots of things at once that the iPad just constrains you too much.
Yeah, I don't really understand why it needs to be a laptop replacement either. It's the way Apple keeps positioning it every time. But as we just said, the MacBook Air is going to be cheaper than buying most of the models of the iPad Pro. I just don't really get, like, if you want a laptop, you're going to buy a MacBook Air. If you want a tablet, you're going to be buying an iPad. And that to me is just fine. If you want something that's in between, if you want to go buy that keyboard for $300, you can go do that. But I just don't really understand why Apple thinks this has to be a replacement for your iPad. That's always, a replacement for your tablet. Laptop. and that's just always how all these things are positioned every single time now. It's been like that for, what, 5 years?
But do you not think that it's Apple sort of accidentally wandered here? Like, they made the iPad and that was fine, and then it had to get more powerful, and then it started to compete with laptops as much as anything else. And then so to create this range of devices, they had to keep making it more powerful. And then to do that, they had to give it a keyboard, and they had to give it a pencil, and they had to give it a trackpad. And it's sort of like, well, where's this going to end? You know, iPad OS now has mouse support, so you can use it as a... You know, so you can click things on the screen. It's like, well, it just has to happen that way, doesn't it?
What comes next? I can't really
RAM
think
upgrades.
About it now. Like,
RAM yeah, upgrades go next. Yeah, yeah.
It's got 8 cores as well, and the MacBook's only got 4 cores. So, you know, make of that what you will. Okay, I think we're nearly out of time. It's been a good podcast, everyone. Well done for making it through. Matt, have you enjoyed your first experience?
It's been a little bit stressful, if I'm honest with you. No, I love being on, but I'm trying to make sure everything's working as it should on the back end. And
stop showing behind the scenes.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's been flawless. Great. Love it.
Cherie, thank you for coming on. How are you feeling for the week ahead? Are you going to be like, this is it for me?
Just a lot of reviews coming up. I'm really excited. The MacBook Air, of course. I've got the new Spectre, HP Spectre X360, I think it is, the 13-inch in my bag, and the XPS 13 should be coming down the pipe sooner than later, so it's just going to be lots of laptops all the time, and I'm excited.
James, are you going to have as many laptops? If you do, I'm going to probably fire you because you're phone's editor.
Yeah, no laptops. I think I've got some tablets coming in, but obviously those don't exist, so I'll probably end up doing nothing for the next week. I'm excited for the PS5 as well, really. That's starting in 5 minutes' time from where we are right now, so I'm quite excited to see what we actually hear from that.
Fine, well, we can jump off right now, and you can go and be bored by teraflops. So thank you everyone for coming on, and thank you for listening to this new and burgeoning and probably your new favorite tech podcast. Just here to remind you, of course, please subscribe to us, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast to make sure that you don't miss out on new episodes. Noise cancelling is, of course, a part of the Audio Boom Originals network that we're proud to be a part of. And of course, finally, don't forget to head over to techradar.com, Laptop Mag, and Tom's Guide to read more. Cherie, do you want to sing us out?
I do. See you next week on Noise Cancelling.
Matt, fade it out. Fade her down.
I don't have the technology to do that.
All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.